The Iniquity of Oblivion by Kenneth Graham. A man I know is fond of asking the irritating question, and in putting it he regards neither age nor sex nor ancient friendship nor the rawest nodding acquaintance. Do you ever forget an invitation to dinner? Of course, the denial is prompt, passionate, and invariable. There are few crimes of which one would not rather be accused than this. He who cannot summon up the faintest blush at the recollection of having once said, "Season," when no money had passed between him and the railway company whose guest he was for the moment, of having understated his income for purposes of taxation, or of having told his wife he was going to church and then furtively picked up a fishing rod as he passed through the hall, will colour angrily at the most innocent suggestion of a single possible lapse of memory regarding an invitation to dinner. But, nonetheless, everyone finds it a little difficult to meet the natural rejoinder, "How do you know?" Indeed, no other reply but painful silence is possible. To say, "Because I do," is natural enough, and frequently quite conclusive of further argument. Still, it can hardly be called reasoned refutation. The fact is, you don't know, and you cannot know. Your conviction that you do is based, first, on some sort of idea that you are bound to recollect, sooner or later, anything that you may have forgotten, an argument that only requires to be stated to display its fallacy. Secondly, on a vague belief that a defection of so flagrant a character must inevitably be brought home to you by an incensed host or hostess, a theory that makes no allowance for the blissful sense of injury and offended pride, the joy of brooding over a wrong, which is one of the chief pleasures left to humanity. No, one doesn't know, and one can't know. And the past career of the most self-satisfied of us is doubtless littered with the debris of forgotten invitations. Of course, invitations, being but a small part of life, and not, as some would imply by their practice, its chief end, must be taken to stand here for much besides. One has only to think of the appalling amount of book lore one has crammed in days gone by, and of the pitiful fragments that survive, to realise that facts, deeds, achievements, experiences numberless may just as well have been hurried along the dusty track to oblivion. And once it has been fairly brought home to us that we have entirely forgotten any one thing, why, the gate is open. It is clear we may just as easily have forgotten hundreds. This lamentable position of things was specially forced upon me some time ago by a certain persistent dream that used to wing its way to my bedside, not once or twice, but coming a dozen times, and always, I felt sure at the time, from out the ivory portal. First, there would be a sense of smugness, of cushioned comfort, of homecoming. Next, a gradual awakening to consciousness in a certain little room, very dear and familiar, sequestered in some corner of the more populous and roaring part of London. Solitary, the world walled out, but full of a brooding sense of peace and of possession. At times I would make my way there, unerringly, through the wet and windy streets, climb the well-known staircase, open the ever-welcoming door.